you want me to make the motion?
Yeah, I'm just, I'll explain what's going on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to call this meeting to order. It's a little unusual tonight. Both our chair and our vice chair are out and under the weather. They're sick tonight and not able to join us. The bylaws require that the Planning Commission, they have a quorum, which is at least four members, that they have to elect a chairman pro tem. So we're going to start business with that, and then we'll get the regular session underway. So I'd
like to make a motion that we appoint as our chair pro tem our incoming vice chair of the Planning Commission, Stephanie Walter.
So moved.
Second.
All right, then. I hear a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. All right, we have a chairman pro tem to run the meeting. Commissioner Walter.
I'd like to call the July 13th Planning Commission meeting to order. The first on the agenda is to call roll. We have four commissioners here, Jeremy Barksdale, John Carlson, Ann Morisseau, and myself, Stephanie Walter. We do not have our council liaison here. And we do have our recording secretary.
And please note for the record, too, that there are excused absences for Commissioners Hillhorst, Davidos, and Lang.
I'd like to move that we approve the agenda.
Excellent. Thank you. I would like to make a comment on that. I'd like to move the draft minutes review to another meeting since we only have four commissioners here.
All right. Mm-hmm. And that next meeting will be July the 27th.
Yes.
All right.
So moved.
Mm-hmm. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. So our next order is public comment. And Terry, do you have the sign-in sheets?
I do.
Right. Okay, so for tonight's public comments, we're going to, based on the number of people signed up and the length of the agenda, we're going to limit public comment to 3 minutes per comment. If you've signed up to speak and you don't need to speak, I'll call your name, just wave me off, and we'll move on to the next person. If someone else has made your comments, you can simply state that my comments have been made or I am in support of XYZ comment. Okay? Great.
So, and if I may, Commissioner Walter,
yes,
I'll just add in a little bit of information here. In front of the microphone here is a timer, and it is red, yellow, green light. Green light is that your time is running. Yellow light is that you got 1 minute left to sum up, and when it hits the red light, it's the chair's discretion to cut you off at that point, and we ask you to wrap it up by that point. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Do we want to remind them to state their name and address when they come up?
That's. Thank you very much, Commissioner Moore. So please speak clearly into the microphone and state your name and address as you begin your comments.
Great. First on the list is Ian Morrison.
Thank you. Two handouts of traffic study and then this
one. It should. There you go. Let's see that once I start the timers.
So thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Commission. My name is Ian Morrison with McCullough-Hillary, address 701 6th Avenue, Suite 6600. Seattle, Washington. I'm joined by Dave Meisner with CD Heritage, and we're here to talk about the Connor Building Project on 108th, and this is really just a precursor to next session about downtown livability. You've heard from Dave and I before about this request to bring this site into the O2 zoning, and really we wanted to take 3 minutes just to talk about the rationale as you think about this for your next commission meeting. And as you see, the site is here mid-block on 108th Street, and you can see that the site is actually split while it's in the downtown residential zone across 108th. The site splits with the O2. And the request that we have today and that is being studied by the staff and we would encourage the Planning Commission to support is to bring that whole site into downtown O2. And we ask that for three reasons which are consistent with downtown livability. First, we think as the city's thinking about strategic opportunities for infill density, when you look at this site and these lines here show the walk centers and walk sheds between the transit center and then the future light rail station, this is really one of those opportunities where you can have downtown strategic transit-oriented development. And we think it's an opportunity that should be explored to find some moderate infill that would encourage that TOD principle. I think the second thing that you heard from the council on the downtown livability principles is let's really be respectful of the residential adjacencies. And we see this site as an opportunity to really enhance the graceful transition. The site that we're talking about, the Connor Building, right now is downtown residential, which would be 200-foot zoning. So you can see that there's the Ashton Tower and 1020, which is the 200. The request to bring it into O2 would allow for some additional height. This proposal from Mr. Meisner is for an additional 40 feet, which, as you can see, allows for, as opposed to sort of a step up, brings that wedding cake and really accentuates it in a graceful way as we move into the downtown core. We think that's really respectful of the adjacent residential. And I think the most important thing that we have to say is the site is already entitled under the residential zoning. There's a 200-foot project that Mr. Meisner could build today. We think, consistent with the goals for downtown livability, that this site really would be able to create something for the memorable downtown distinctive skyline, especially as you look south from the residential neighborhoods. So we would ask that they support this proposal, which, as you can see, as you're looking now north into the downtown, gives a signature tower and an opportunity to really express the vision of downtown livability, add to the density of downtown, support downtown livability in the way that it would bring transit orientation, and also this small amount of density, this would allow about 30 additional units. So really, this is something that would support the goals of affordable housing and vibrancy on the street. So for those reasons, we would respectfully ask that next council session, when you take this up, you would support bringing this site into O2 so that we could better align the opportunity for downtown livability.
Thank you. Be rentals?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I support the request, Dave Meisner.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is Linda Novavec. Okay.
Okay. So we will give you 6 minutes. You're going to speak together. Just give me a moment to get this set. All right.
My name is Linda Nohavik, Bellevue, Washington, 9800A. I have my address on record already. Good evening. This evening, I am not here to comment about specifics, but a perspective on proceedings. I've noted the venue of citizens' concerns and questions have been marginalized by the city staff scribing policies that justify an advantageous tax incentives for development. I have a long history serving in the public sector, and it is a thankless job. I also understand the process and constraints of the position. Difficult for a board of volunteers to be objective when materials are collated by the jurisdiction mandating the agenda. In certain aspects, conflict of interest is apparent at many levels and especially challenging when the stakes are driven by developer interest. Dedicated citizens engage in presenting challenges to the findings of fact, rebuttals to studies, concern about transparency and accuracy of COB data are buried in a quagmire of land use terminology, defaults or cites to the comprehensive plan. Written or verbal comments should encourage a public podium for the Planning Commission to better guide decisions in the public interest rather than support special interest objectives, known or unknown. The obvious conclusion here, our collective concerns have been viewed as futile expression. Homeowners recognize the land use change will promote a devaluation of their homes and properties impacted by the increased density, traffic congestion, already below code compliance standards, greater numbers of students to our already overburdened schools, noise pollution, and deforestation. I've read the reports, and I know how to interpret its true scale, identified inconsistencies, potential abuse of the FAR, and most noteworthy, nebulous terms such as may, encourage, recommend, consider, promote, none of which abide sound land use directives but open to independent interpretation and unenforceable action. Since many of us in the Eastgate area only recently became aware of the second attempt to change the land use designation, it's evident the majority of affected residents are unaware of this activity. Historically, the first LUC proposal for Eastgate was denied in 2005 through the actions of citizen intervention opposing the same developer. As a community, we are disappointed at the lack of due diligence in the notification process, but not surprised. Thank you. And Michelle will continue.
Michelle Wanamaker. I live in Eastgate at 4045 149th Avenue Southeast. Sorry. Will that do it?
I think so.
All right. I am going to continue reading Ms. Nohavik's letter. Therefore, based on the above, we formally request that the City of Bellevue alert the affected zip codes will be provided upon contact by postal mail to allow a true reckoning of the citizens objecting to this mandate. If our concerns continue to be abated, it will be our attorneys asking the questions as they are currently studying the land use amendment transportation dogma. We are aligning as neighbors, forming the Eastgate Community Group to manage sustainable growth. We support development, but reasonable growth for our area that does not diminish or burden our resources, services, infrastructure, or property values. You may argue we are late to the table, but if adequately notified at the onset, this process would have been undertaken earlier. Advocating a conscientious growth mandate that addresses the cumulative effect of all development City of Bellevue envisions for this region. To conclude, a particular City of Bellevue finding surmises exactly what we are concerned about. Item C, this amendment is not contrary to the best interests of the citizens and property owners of the City of Bellevue. This supposition surely reflects a greater disproportionate level of understanding